I don't know about all of you, but last night was a special night for me. God spoke to our hearts, and that is the purpose of our gathering. Not just to hold a service, but to let God speak to us through His Word. Where people talk and have their programs, God does not get His due. And we believe with all our hearts that the Holy Scriptures have said everything God wanted to say to us, and that this Word must become so alive, so fresh, so close, so personal, that everyone feels addressed and recognizes, I am meant. Today, God means me. Today, He is speaking to me. Today, He offers me His grace. Today, He wants to reveal Himself to me. Everyone must be able to leave a church service with a certainty in their heart that they have received something from God. Before I come back to 2 Thessalonians, I will read from the first one. 1 Thessalonians 3, from verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 3, from verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith, now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. We believe in the return of the Lord. We believe in it because our Lord said, before He departed from this earth, in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The living hope of all believers throughout the ages, since the first coming of Christ, has been the second coming of the Lord. We can read of Martin Luther that he often went to the city gate in the morning and awaited the return of the Lord. Many have gone before us without having experienced this great event. But we have now arrived with all certainty at the time when we can expect the Lord to return. No one can say exactly when that will be, but blessed are those who are prepared so as not to remain outside and fall into judgment on the day when the Lord returns. We will read the word in a moment. Paul wanted to help the faith of the believers. He wanted to remedy the deficiencies that still clung to their faith. And we have to admit that our faith still has some shortcomings. After all, divine faith is blameless. It is without any defects. So if help is needed, it means that people who have become believers do not believe from the heart, as the Holy Scriptures say, but bring their own reasoning into the content of their faith. And where we bring our own into the divine, problems arise. We must learn to agree with God in spiritual matters, even if it runs counter to our intellectual reasoning. Who could believe when the Lord said, "I will rise again the third day"? Who among the unbelievers could believe it? No one. They even offered money at that time to say that they had taken him out while the guards were asleep. People who have not experienced God cannot believe his word and deeds as they are written. They have problems. And we, as believers, want to be just as honest and say that our faith has not yet reached the level that it must and will reach. The church services are there to remedy the shortcomings of our faith, not to let us go away in comfort and hopelessness, but with a certainty that God has stretched out his hand to help me through the preaching of his word. A person who really understands God will realize how good he means with us. People who always find fault with God are not satisfied with themselves, and they transfer this to others, and even up to the heights. God wants to bring us into agreement with Himself, and that simply means in agreement with His precious and holy Word. For what God has said is forever said and is unchangeable. What people decide, even in religious matters, has been changed again and again. But this precious Word of God remains forever. And the faith of the believers is anchored in it. They do not trust in themselves, nor do they believe in themselves. They believe in the living God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." The growth of believers is necessary. Everything that has life is growing. If an object is dead, you cannot expect it to grow. But every tree, every plant, everything that has life in it is subject to a process of growth. If we have received life from God and have been born again unto a living hope, then we have been placed in a divine growth. When a child is born into this world, it is not already an adult, but it is already a child. And so it is with all of us who have been born again by the grace of God. We may not yet be adults. We may not yet be perfected. We are still growing. Blessed is the man who still recognizes this and personally classifies himself as such. If this were not the case, then we would look down on others with disdain and on ourselves with favor and become pious Pharisees who do everything right but do not want to admit that others are also doing something right. Such a state would be regrettable. Anyone who wants to come into the presence of God must come with a bowed heart and a humble spirit. We cannot talk to God the way we sometimes want to or do. Then He does not listen to us at all. We must come to God in deep reverence, and our prayers must be based on faith in the Word of God. Only then will He hear us. Let's come back to this growth. We are in the process of spiritual growth. And we are in the time when everything is ripening for the harvest. The good and the bad, the wheat and the weeds, to use the parable of our Lord. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. But this harvest, of which the scriptures speak, is very near. And everyone knows that it is sown and harvested every year. It is a law of nature. Spiritually speaking, it is about the spiritual seed. Jesus Christ was manifested as the Son of God on this earth in the flesh and took on human form in order to give us, who as human beings were abandoned to hopelessness, the sonship of God through His atoning death on the cross of Calvary, and to make us sons and daughters of God. You have to get to the heart of the matter. If you haven't got to the heart of the divine matter, what use is all the embellishment of a sermon? Here we are told, to the end He may establish your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. This too God will bring about in His own, that our hearts will be in reverence and in godly holiness, not in human hypocrisy and self-righteousness, but in the recognition that we are unclean, that we are lost and hopeless, but that He, the pure and holy One, has come, redeemed us, and given us a living hope by grace. We trust in Him alone. That is why we do not try to redeem ourselves or find salvation in what people have to offer, but place our hope in the grace of our God alone. Now we come to last night's word from 2 Thessalonians 1. Here I would like to read from verse 11 and then perhaps come back to verse 10. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are told that the completion of the work of faith, in fact, the completion of the kingdom of God in general, should be done powerfully. And it also says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him. Let us return to verse 10 of chapter 1. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Who admires the Lord? Who accepts Him? Who rejects Him? How do we categorize Him? What does He have to say to me or to you? What significance does our Lord have in our lives? If we look at Christianity today, and this is not a judgment, but a sad observation, then there are only a few who truly confess Christ. Let us look for the people today who have the courage to confess Christ everywhere and at all times. There are still some who confess to a religious community, confess to a denomination, but God is looking for people who confess to Him, to His Word, people who have a relationship with Him, who have found and established a relationship with Him and are in fellowship with Him. He wants to glorify Himself among them. Among them, He wants to confirm His Word and let His grace work in a mighty way. This word speaks of the return of the Lord, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. Our Lord, who at that time suffered the worst dishonor among His own and endured everything, as the prophet Isaiah had already foretold in chapter 53, that He had no more comeliness or beauty, stricken and smitten, He went for your sake and mine. And the Holy Scriptures say in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That was at the first coming of Christ. Here it speaks of the second coming of Christ and of a multitude in which He will then glorify Himself. And I ask you, who is meant by this? The half-believers, the unbelievers, who do not confess Christ? No. This refers to people to whom Christ has become everything, to whom He means everything. And when we say that, it doesn't mean that we are becoming unsober. On the contrary, we remain completely sober and clear in all earthly and spiritual things. But we have recognized by the grace of God that the Lord has spoken to us in His Word. And we have recognized that His words and His deeds agree, and that all His words are yes and amen. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it is written, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation." God has people on earth who trust Him and believe Him without any ifs and buts, who do not just play religion, but believe from the heart and have absorbed the Word of God and allow the grace of God to work in them. We can all belong to this group. No one needs to look for a church or a denomination to find Christ. Christ can be found by anyone who seeks Him with all their heart. For thus it is written, whoever seeks Me with all his heart, I will let myself be found by him. And it must be emphasized that Christ is not to be equated with religion. We must realize this once and for all. Religions, and there are plenty of them, were brought into existence by people. Christ is not the founder of a religion. He came to seek the lost and to save all who believe in Him with all their hearts. I dare say that the many religions have obstructed the path to Christ, that there is so much around it that Christ is no longer even visible. And that's why no one should be surprised that it's so amateurish here, that it's so simple here. Do you think our Lord appeared in an academic manner? No, He appeared meek and humble. Everything that comes from God is not arrogant, but humble, simple. God reveals Himself in simplicity, where people believe Him. He will come again to be glorified among His saints. Then Paul writes, wherefore also we pray always for you, in view of this, that the Lord will come again to be glorified among His own. In view of this, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. We are all dependent on the power of God. Nothing is done with our power. We will soon be lost. The right man whom God Himself has chosen fights for us, as the song goes. We believe that it is He who brings about in our lives what will stand its ground before Him. Everything of our own will not stand before Him. Indeed, hardly before ourselves. But what is to stand before God must have come from Him and have been given to us, so that He can powerfully bring the work of faith to completion in all of you. And then comes the explanation for this. And it says so wonderfully here, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him. Before we can be glorified in Him, He must be able to glorify Himself in us. It begins in your heart and in mine, in your life of faith and in mine. He wants to glorify himself. He wants to make his word a divine reality by being able to confirm it. Beloved, we are not here to indulge in a pious fantasy. We are here to be informed in a very real way about what God has said to us in his word. And we are talking about this on the basis of the word of God. What use will all pious things have been to people in that day if the Lord has not been able to reveal himself in their lives? Here we are told that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of God is powerful. It is written, of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. And to Paul, the Lord said, let my grace be sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. All those who are strong by themselves cannot manifest God's power in them, for they are able to do everything by themselves. But when we have realized in the holy presence of God, all our actions are to be judged quite differently from what we are able to do ourselves. And I say once again, only that which he himself has been able to work in those who have become believers, who do not ascribe it to themselves, but owe it to the Lord, they will be able to stand their ground before God. If we could have saved ourselves, then the Lord would not have needed to come at all. If we could help ourselves, we wouldn't need his help. Let us all realize that we are dependent on our God. He is Savior and Lord. He wants to let his grace work powerfully in our lives and bring the work of faith he has begun to completion with power. Not that we lack, but that we are given everything by grace that we need to be able to stand our ground before God. Our Lord is coming again. He's coming soon. Now he's calling the last ones out to reveal himself to them, leading them into his word, preparing us for that glorious day when he will find admiration among all those who have become believers. But not just believers in anything, but believers in him who alone is credible. And I ask each and every one of you today, who else on earth is credible and who has ever been? We are all human, and the scriptures say that we have all fallen short and lack glory before God. God alone is true. God alone is credible. And therefore, He has become the object of our faith. Another faith, as we heard in the opening word, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This one faith in the one Lord must have been given to us. Before we can realize this spiritual growth in ourselves, we must first be born again. As our Lord said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. God is not looking for people who will somehow become members, but people in whom He can carry out and bring about His work of grace, the work of redemption. He is looking for such people, and we want to belong to them and wish that many more will be called, that many more will hear the voice of the Lord and be pardoned. What good is our whole life if at the end of our course there is great disappointment? And one thing is certain. I actually wanted to ask the question, who will take more into eternity, the beggar or the millionaire? But no one will take anything with them. Everyone will go as they came. The only thing we will take with us is what God has done in us. And it is very close to my heart that God could work in us today through His Word and through His Spirit, that our faith could be strengthened and fortified in the way we have read here, so that the work of God might be powerfully brought to completion, and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in us, and we in Him. It can no longer be separated. God was in Christ. Christ dwells in us through faith. A divine union has taken place in Christ. God has been reconciled with mankind. Christ is in us, and we are in Him. He wants to glorify Himself through us, and at the same time wants us to share in His glory. Believe me, we will not go away empty-handed. We will share in the glory of God. Just as we may bear His reproach for a time now, when the hour of God strikes, we will also share in His glory. May He prepare us for this and bring it about in all of us by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Before we pray, let us sing the chorus, "Just As I Am." Let us sing once more. Let us bow our heads in prayer. But before we pray, I would like to ask if there is anyone here who feels addressed by the Word of God, who feels inwardly that God is calling, that He admonishes, that He is speaking, that He is working, then you should make your decision now, now that everything is fresh in your heart, now that the Spirit of God is working on you. We don't want to penetrate anyone, but we want God to penetrate every heart through His Spirit, that His Word comes in so powerfully, and that we believe it, so that it can accomplish what it was sent to do. God's Word never returns void. It always accomplishes what God sends it to do. Salvation for the lost, healing, blessing, indeed all the promises that God has given should and will be fulfilled in and through those who believe from the heart. Today we are gathered here before the face of God. He knows our thoughts. He knows exactly what is going on in us. And He wants us to serve and belong to Him. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, and remain in silent prayer, I would like to ask if anyone would like to be included in this prayer, then raise your hand briefly and put it down again. God sees the hands and God also sees the hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your grace, for Your love that You have so richly revealed towards us. Faithful God, speak in such a clear way that we understand You effortlessly. Come to our aid. May Your Spirit work so powerfully in us, revealing Your Word and making Your will known to us. Bless all those who have raised their hands. Bless all those who have not. Faithful God, You see the heart, and You know how we mean it. Take us all, O God, crown us with mercy and loving kindness. Call some more whom You have ordained to behold your glory. Lord, we ask you to bless us all and with us all those who call on your name and who belong to you and who are yet to be called. Yes, bless all peoples, tongues, and nations, and be merciful once again for the sake of your name, before it is too late forever. Lord, come now to be glorified in your own, and then to be glorified through us. Faithful Lord, before you will come again with great power and glory to find admiration among your own, we ask you for your blessing. You are close to us even now in these moments, and you speak to our hearts in a very special way. We give you thanks and adoration for everything. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.